what the fuck? Why are we doing this? Green room had to have been moved. Because that's the only thing I can think of that... I mean, we can say that it's for green room.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. They're a new breed of gangster. The new Public Enemy. The new Family of Crime. My PIC, my partner in crime, is always Mr. Dave Becella.
That's me.
That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Those three sentences I just said, that short paragraph, rewind it or skip back.
They're new things.
Rewind is an antiquated term. Listen to that again if you didn't catch that it was New Jack City. If you do have a guess for our contest for this week, mail your guess to us in one of the three following ways. You can email us. moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess, which had better be New Jack City, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup.
We will also accept Ghost Dad.
Yeah, we usually do. Or you can tweet your answer at us at moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct, and if we choose you, you will win a brand new prize package that I'm sure will arrive at your doorstep, not
and
jacked
you'll be
up
jacked.
At all. Yes, you will. You'll be all jacked up about it.
To your city.
We were all jacked up about doing this list for the Green Room.
We think.
We're pretty sure. We think it was supposed to come out this week. It may have been shuffled around because we're left with a list of
God's
our favorite gang movies, and we're not certain. Well, maybe.
God's Not Dead 2 comes out this week, right?
Yeah.
Christianity could be looked at as one of the larger gangs in the world.
In fairness, Jesus did roll around with
12. He did have 12, a posse.
He had a posse of 12, at
bang,
least.
Bang, shoot him up.
12 to 13. But at any rate, usually
favorite
we
favorite gang movies.
Yeah, usually have a good reason why we're doing things. This week, maybe we don't. But I do think, at least my list, I'm happy with it. I think it came out well. Dave and I did, when we decided we were going to do this list, we were not sure why, but we did decide that we were going to really try and make sure that we left organized crime out, like the mafia does not
yeah.
make an appearance here.
Like, I think we've done gangster movies
yes.
or
organized
like,
crime.
Yeah, so we didn't really lay down much groundwork other than that.
Other than don't do those.
Other than, yeah, like, so we're not going to have the Untouchables on the 50th list. That
you'll not find
ever. I like my list. I like the movies on my list. But with my line of thinking, I know I didn't spread the net wide enough. I obviously didn't want to just stick with, like, oh, Colors, Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society. I didn't want to just go down that path.
Right.
I was trying to think outside the box of other movies that involved gangs, and it just kept getting wider and wider, and I know that I missed them. So of all the episodes where I'm confident I've missed a movie that I absolutely love, I'm positive that I had to have missed something on this one.
Yeah, in fairness, I didn't do a lot of research because I didn't need to. There were four movies that immediately came to my mind, and I
were
was
they
like,
Colors, New Jack City, The Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society?
No. They were not. Four movies that came to my mind, and they are my numbers 4 through 1. And I was like, this is great. I absolutely love the top two. I mean, they are phenomenal movies that I probably have talked about at some point on this podcast before, but I'm going to get to talk about them a lot, and I'm very happy about that. So it was just a matter of finding the fifth one for me. Dave, what was your fifth favorite game?
My
movie?
Fifth has been name dropped already. It's a tie between Colors. No, it's
New Jack City.
It's New Jack City. I do really love this movie. I will always speak up Heat as being a perfect crime movie. This isn't up there, but it's close. What I like so much about Heat is that everybody is focused on the same amount. You have the detective. You have the crook. They are all brought to life. New Jack City does the same thing. You have Wesley Snipes as Nino Brown, who is awesome. Nino Brown is one of the most vicious movie characters ever.
He's not a great basketball player.
No.
But he is a great gangster.
No. But then you have Van Peebles, Chris Rock, who's really good
Chris
in it.
Chris Rock is great in this
He's
movie.
Phenomenal in this movie. Like, Chris Rock is not a good actor, except in this movie. He's really, really good. Ice-T, Judd Nelson, there's a lot going on in this movie, and that's what makes a good crime movie to me, is it's not cut and dry all the time. It's not just good versus evil, black versus white, cop versus bad guy. Like, there's a lot more layers to it. And I think New Jack City does a pretty good job of peeling back some of those layers. I don't say this often, but Wesley Snipes, really, really, really good in this movie. Judd Nelson, good in this movie. Really good performances all around. It's a really good story. Mario Van Peebles directed this as well. His directing career kind of took some weird turns, but this showed a lot of promise. It's a shame that we haven't seen more like this from him, but it's one of those that, like, it would be hard to top because it is a crime epic. It could be held up there with, when you think of your crime movies, like this, I think is up there with Scarface, with
Heat,
with Untouchables, like those. It's up there. I mean, it's not just like reaching for that list. Like it's in there. As far as overall crime movies go, this is a really, really good one. And it has gangs.
It does. My number five has gangs, two of them specifically. The Greasers and the Socias. It's The Outsiders from 1983, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, starring C. Thomas Howell, Matt Dillon, Ralph Macchio, Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez, Tom Cruise. Class warfare at its finest here between two gangs chock full of white kids and probably the most famous people of the 1980s. It's like the NBA All-Star game.
It's just missing Judd Nelson.
But with white guys and the movie version of that.
It's like the 1942 NBA All-Star game.
Murderer's Row, yeah. And brace yourselves for this. I've actually read the S.E. Hinton novel. And I think it's a very good, faithful adaptation of the book. Maybe I like it more than I should because it was one of those ones that you got to watch in class. You would do that unit where you would read The Outsiders and then, okay, we'll watch the accompanying movie because it's close and, you know, it's not bad and the teacher can just like sleep off a hangover or whatever and let you watch a movie. And I was always good for that. I think you get exactly what you would expect from the supporting cast. They're all huge movie stars. And they play their roles well. They act like they're movie stars. But I do find it odd in retrospect that the leads of this movie were C. Thomas Howell and Macchio. Certainly, Howell was hot in the early 80s. This, E.T., Red Dawn, that guy was, he was on top of the world. And he's worked a ton since then, but he hasn't really made it back to that level. It's like the band that comes out with a great first album and then can't quite recapture that. Similar story for Ralph Macchio. I mean, he had the Karate Kid franchise.
My Cousin Vinny franchise.
Yes. And then we just haven't heard much from Macchio again. And I think it's unfortunate because I think both guys are actually really good actors.
Crossroads?
I think they just got sort of lumped into being like 80s child stars that weren't allowed to really do anything else. Except for the rest of this movie. Patrick Swayze did not have that problem. Matt Dillon did not have that problem. Yeah, Tom Cruise did okay for himself. Rob Lowe is still doing great stuff today. Just unfortunately for the two leads, they just couldn't stay gold.
Didn't stay gold. Yep, didn't stay gold for everybody. This was one of my also-rans. I kind of left it off because it's very similar to another movie I left off because I thought it might be on there. I thought one of the two would be on there. My number four is quite a departure from New Jack City. And I don't know why it's higher on my list than New Jack City. Like The Outsiders, you know, when that movie came out, Cruise wasn't Cruise. Swayze wasn't Swayze. Like, you'll find these movies of like guys that are big time movie stars now. And there was a movie from 2008 that if you look closely, you'll see Michael Fassbender, Jack O'Connell, who are both doing big things now. Kelly Riley, who seems to be almost everywhere. It is Eden Lake, written and directed by James Watkins. It's a competent horror movie, is what this is. It's Kelly Riley and Mikey Fassbender go away for a romantic weekend, and they encounter a gang of dipshit kids. And they decide to confront this gang of dipshit kids, and you have your survival horror movie that follows. It's pretty good. I mean, this Watkins dude, as a director, this was 08. Followed up in 2012 with Woman in Black, which was a competent movie. And that's really it. He's got one coming out this year. But this is one of those movies that feels like something you would just stumble across on Netflix and be pleasantly surprised by it. That's the best I'll give you for this movie. It's pleasantly surprising. It's got everything. It's got your survival aspect. They're in the middle of the woods. It's Kelly Riley being hunted by this gang of dipshits. It's got that. It leads up to an ending that it doesn't maybe make you feel that great. And it's got Fassbender. So there's a lot going for it. It's not a great movie, but if you stumble across it on Netflix, you could watch worse stuff.
And it's got the bends. So what else, yeah. What else do you need? My number four has got things that I absolutely love, and that's gang violence and soccer. My number four is Lexi Alexander's Green Street Hooligans from 2005, starring Elijah Wood, Charlie Hunnam, and Claire Forlani. Early Hunnam in this, like you said, sometimes you stumble across things and you're like, holy shit, that guy was in this movie. This long before he was Jax Teller and Elijah Wood.
In between being the prim British guy on Undeclared, right, and the rough and tumble Jax Teller on Sons of Anarchy.
You had Elijah Wood in full-on Frodo Baggins mode. Hunnam leading him down this dangerous path as a soccer hooligan. While the word gang is kind of eschewed in this movie for the term firm, the GSE are just as violent as any bunch of street toughs that you'd find in New Jack City. Oftentimes, they're tougher than their beloved West Ham Hammers are on the pitch. Like I said, I have to give this movie some bonus points because it does feature soccer, which I like, and my real-life soccer man crush, Frank Lampard, appearing in the film for when he was a hammer. The idea of hooliganism seems kind of silly here in the States. It's almost easier to understand joining a gang to run drugs or to have a prostitution ring because you can see, like, all right, well, that leads to money. What does soccer hooliganism lead to except for a group of buddies to get drunk with on a weekly basis and get into a fight outside of a sporting event? I think if it did make more sense in the U.S., that the Dog Pound Elite would be a really badass firm, because that just seems like something that Browns fans would do. I mean, your team sucks, so you might as well just get shit-faced. You can't win on the field, so maybe you try and beat up some, I don't know, you name it, some Ravens fans that make the trek from Baltimore.
I don't care about soccer, so my number...
It's not Green Street.
My number three, it's a movie...
Or any of the two sequels.
There's seriously, yes, two sequels to this?
There is. I have not. I certainly haven't seen the third one, and I'm not sure that I've seen the second.
Speaking of...
movies I didn't know there were sequels to?
No, movies that... This is weird. They've gotten gradually worse from my number five. New Jack City is by far the best movie of so far. Number four, I would say, is pleasantly surprising. Number three...
It's not good at all.
...has the best soundtrack ever. It is from 1993.
It's kind of ugly.
Judgment Night. Emilio Estevez, Cuba Gooding Jr., Jeremy Piven on the way to a hockey, I believe it's a hockey game,
apparently,
boxing match.
Estevez is a really rough and tumble guy. He's made the list twice already. Yes.
It's a boxing match. The Piv takes a shortcut through a gang-infested city, and they happen to see a gang of drug dealers murder somebody. So then you have Dennis Leary and his gang of thugs hunting them down through this empty town, I guess, while rock rap is invented in the background. It gets a lot of crap for being a terrible movie, and I can't argue all of it. If you go into it knowing what you're getting, it's a good time. It's Cuba, it's Estevez, it's Piven being Cuba, Estevez and Piven. It's Dennis Leary being Dennis Leary, but more evil. I legit enjoy this movie. I still own the VHS of this movie. It's just a fun time. Like, if you could take it with a grain of salt and not take it too seriously, it is some fun.
My number three maybe doesn't have a great soundtrack, but it does have a song that was nominated for an Oscar for best song or whatever the hell that category is called. It is from 2002, directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Daniel Day-Lewis, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Cameron Diaz, Gangs of New York. Right there, it's in the title, Gang. It's like a better combination of my first two movies. You have class warfare like you did with the Greasers and the Socias, by way of racism in this, and you have Europeans like you have in the Green Street Hooligans. Almost incredibly, this movie was nominated for 10 Oscars, but didn't manage to win a single one, which is fascinating if you really stop to think about it. One of the categories was Daniel Day-Lewis, who never loses, but he lost. Bill the Butcher was not the best actor in 2002, but whatever, I digress. Sort of lost in that whole thing were some of the performances by the smaller roles, specifically Liam Neeson and Brendan Gleeson, are phenomenal in this movie in much, much smaller roles, which, especially with Gleeson, it shouldn't really surprise anyone because he's phenomenal. If for no other reason than being able to coax a good performance out of Cameron Diaz, Scorsese probably should have won the best director for that. I think this movie's a great look at America around the time of the Civil War. There are a lot of movies that are about the Civil War. There are a lot of movies that are about events around the Civil War, like Lincoln. I think the Civil War is maybe there's about two scenes in it. But what I love about this movie is everybody thinks Civil War and you think of emancipation and you think of the black-white racism, which we're all accustomed to. But in this one, it's more the native-born slash immigrant variety. And racism towards immigrants, it's kind of a thing that's sort of in the presidential race
very
now.
Very pertinent right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's very, very pertinent. It's been something that's obviously been kind of an undercurrent in this country for years and years, which is strange for a country that is a melting pot. And unless you're a Native American, all of our families were immigrants at some point. I love the scale of this movie. It just seems so large and so epic. The set pieces are great. The amount of extras that they have in these big brawl scenes, it really, really is a great movie that just baffles the mind how it's went 0 for 10 at the Oscars.
My number two, I don't often have foreign movies on here.
Ooh.
Yeah, but this one I did.
Is it from Australia or England?
No, it's not from those little countries. It is from Rio de Janeiro, wherever that is.
Ooh.
Is that Brazil?
That's Brazil.
It's City of God, directed by Fernando Meirelles and Katie Lund. You talk about an epic like movie. City of God feels that way too, but it feels so real. Like you're on the streets of Rio de Janeiro, and it's a really good story. A two boys that grow up in a very bad neighborhood and kind of the paths they take where one of them tries to make a life out of himself and pursues a job and a career. And the other one becomes a drug dealer and falls in with the gangs and it takes that life. And just to see how they interact with each other and kind of where they both end up growing up from this place. It's a phenomenal movie. Those directors, they later did Constant Gardener, which got a lot of attention, and then Blindness, which I think is one of the most underrated movies ever. Blindness is a phenomenal movie, and then they've not really done much outside of their home country since then. City of God is one of those. It's when I first thought of gang movies, it was one of the first ones that came to mind. So I knew I couldn't not have it on my list. Like it's a phenomenal, phenomenal movie.
My number two is also City of God. There were two movies that came to mind first, and I loved both of them. Actually, this is my least favorite of the two. But that's trying to pick between your gang children or whatever. And I do think that the directing was great, but the cinematography for me is what really, really stands out. And I do believe that it was actually nominated for Best Cinematography. You're not going to find a more wonderfully shot gang movie, and that includes Gangs of New York. I mean, this movie is just so beautiful to look at. Actually, it also did get Best Director nomination for those two, now that I think about it. And I love the span of this movie. It does start with Rocket and Little Zay as their kids, and it goes through, both characters have very divergent paths, which end up bringing them together again sort of at the end of the movie. And it's based on a Paulo Lins novel, which is supposedly based on a true story. And obviously it's the true story from Rocket, not so much Little Zay. Spoiler alert. It's a great, great movie. I'm not sure if it's still on Netflix. That's where I came across it to start with. Actually, my number two and my number one. I found them both on Netflix. They're both phenomenal. And while the main character, Rocket, I mean, he starts off in a gang, but then you know, gets away from it. It absolutely seemed like a gang movie to me. I didn't think I would have to really sell it too much. I'm actually really, really
sold.
Pleasantly surprised that you picked it as well, so I certainly don't have to sell it if you think it's your number two as well, but I am interested to see what your number one is. Shit if there's absolutely crossover here.
It's the exact same movie you have as your number one.
It might be.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's from 2011.
No, it's not.
It is about a gang of teens that they have their building that they live in, and they want to protect that building no matter what and terrorize it at the same time. It is from 2011, one of my favorite movies ever, written and directed by Joe Cornish, starring
Finn,
John Boyega, Jodie Whittaker. It is Attack the Block. I absolutely love this movie. It's not just a gang movie. It is these teens that are in a gang that are fighting aliens and protecting their home turf from some of the coolest on-screen aliens ever. I love this movie. I was so excited for Boyega to get the Star Wars job because he's really good in this movie. He's not a good guy, but he's a hero. Like, that's...
He's like the anti-hero.
Yeah, but, I mean, it starts with him mugging Jodie Whittaker. So, I mean, he's not a good guy until he has to be, but you still like him. Like, he brings so much to that. All of them do. The pizza kid, like, all of these are kids that need a good whooping, but you like them. Like, you like them. It's so well done throughout that all of the characters, the deaths matter. Like, when one of them dies, it's like, oh, I really dug that kid. And then Nick Frost is in it, who's hilarious. Jodie Whittaker, I think, is one of the best working actresses right now. She's just hasn't really broke over in the States doing a ton. If Ferguson or Blunt don't want Captain Marvel, I say give it to Jodie Whittaker. It's just such a good movie. And Joe Cornish shows so much promise with this movie, and he got his name started becoming attached to so many things after this. Like, he was a hot commodity, but nothing has really come yet. He was co-writer on Ant-Man, but his directing follow-up hasn't come yet, and we're 5 years later, which is a shame because this movie's shot very cool. Like, it's visually very appealing. The aliens are awesome. The final climactic scene, I think, is one of the best shots. Finn running down the hallway, being chased by them. I think that's one of... Take any screenshot from those and hold that up against any sci-fi movie, and it's going to be one of the better shot climaxes in any sci-fi movie in history. I think it's that good. I adore this movie so much.
This was one that the girl threw out when I was really looking for a fifth one. Much to her credit, she came up with this one. It started me down a whole other path of, like, I thought about The Raid. Like, I love that movie. Certainly it's about gangs. I don't think we have to stretch that one at all. In fairness, I do like both of those movies much more than I like The Outsiders. I didn't feel good about putting them in at number 5 just to wedge them on there. I'm glad that you had Attack the Block on yours. I'm not very surprised by that. But those were just two movies that I thought of that I really love and that probably could have been on here. But my number 1 is the first movie I thought of. And it's phenomenal. As much as I feel like you could use subtitles for Attack the Block, because it's really hard to understand what any of them are saying. I think Finn was speaking Huttese in that movie, because I can understand about 1 every 3 words, and I think that they're actually speaking English. They're not speaking English in 2009's Sin Hombre, directed by Kerry Joji Fukujana, whatever, starring some Hispanic folks, Paulina Gayton, Marco Antonio Aguirre, and Edgar Flores. This is a fantastic movie. Like I mentioned, I did have trouble deciding between this and City of God. And while I think that it's possible, it's maybe even probable, that City of God is a better made movie, I think the story in Sin Hombre is outstanding. We talk about Finn being a bad guy to start the movie. Flores is a gang member, but he's still sympathetic throughout the entire movie. He doesn't necessarily do anything that makes you say, all right, this guy's an asshole. The rest of the people in his gang do. So he still maintains that likability, and he's impossible not to root for as he's being chased by members of his former gang after doing a not very gang thing. Because of the brutality and the callousness of his gang, Casper has to make some tough choices that put him in some pretty serious danger. And as those decisions sort of come home to roost and his gang closes in on him, the tension, kind of like a train going down the track, it just picks up speed, it picks up tension, and it just builds throughout the course of the film. There are moments that you have to hit in a movie. I've heard that a time or two on this show. And the river crossing scene is one that just sticks with you. And sometimes I kind of get angry with coda endings that it's like, well, it could end here, but then there's just that little bit extra of explanation. I feel that that ending really does kind of give you a sense of weight of what you just watched. It's, again, it's kind of a heavy movie, but it's great. It is a really, really excellent movie. It's easy to miss. It's a foreign film, so it's, you're going to have to maybe go out of your way to find it. If you do see it, it may not occur to you to watch it, but if you do come across either Sinombre or City of God, certainly you're going to appreciate watching either one, if not both of those movies. Watch them back to back. What the hell? Make a day of it.
Then watch Attack the Block to feel better about yourself.
And that would feel better.
Yeah.
You'd feel better about yourself. That has a better ending than the other two.
Yeah. I left The Warriors off because I thought maybe it'd make... The Warriors and Outsiders to me are... They're different movies, but they're the same movie to me.
I couldn't put The Warriors on now because of The Warriors.
Yeah. Colors, which I've mentioned. American History X was very close to being on there. And Clockwork Orange.
Yep.
Those were my main also-rans. But like I was thinking, like I know there's got to be some home invasion movies that involve gangs that I'm just not thinking of. I know there's the basis of a gang, coming from a gang, running from a gang. There's so many things that this was... You didn't have to research that much. I tried to just to do my due diligence, and it's such a wide thing that I know I missed them. So if we missed your favorite movie featuring gangs or a gang, West Side Story we left out, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter @moviesonup. Let us know what your favorite gang movies are if we missed them, or even if it's just New Jack City, Colors, Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, Juice. That's a solid top five right there. I love Juice. But so hit us up. As for me, I haven't plugged it in a while, but check out createdweekly.com. That's just something a few friends and I are forcing ourselves to write something new every week. So I've been putting up a new short story every week, solid, which is it's felt pretty good to do. So if you feel like reading some short stories, check out createdweekly.com. Other than that, we will be back next week with another fantastic
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh yes, Gyllenhaal movies.
Oh yes,
favorite Gyllenhaal movies. I'm sure that'll be pretty well, and maybe by then I'll learn how to spell it. but until then,
keep it up. Straw Dogs. There's your home invasion gang movie. I like it.
The remake or the original?
No, the original. Sam Peckinpah.
Dustin Hoffman. Yeah. Not the Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah.